There is something about this church. It's not another Bless Me Club. Each time you come, you see a people real hungry, God chasers. Winning Faith, to me, I see it as a center where people are truly hungry after God. It's a privilege to be here. I know that that which God has started, He will accomplish. Amen. You know, God is not the author of confusion. If He's talking about raising the bars, the year of honor and all of that, He's already spoken to me and said it's a time of double portion. I think it's in line. Amen. So whatever you thought you wanted for this year, please expect more. Because He will push you beyond your limits. So that it will be clear and evident to those observing your life. Do you know people look at you? Amen. Those who are watching you, they will come to a conclusion. He didn't come up with all of this all by Himself. Something beyond Him happened. That's why these signs are coming forth. I believe that God will make that your story. Amen. I want to read a few scriptures and we're going to pray. There can't be too much of prayer. There can't be too much. Let's turn in our Bible. I'll read a version, the Message version, for one excerpt here. The book of Malachi chapter 3. I'll read the Message version and then I read a few more scriptures, preach a few minutes and we'll be ready to pray. And I know that which God will do in this season will stick with you beyond this year in an ever-increasing measure. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. From verses 14 to the end. And when you said, "It doesn't pay to serve God," what do we ever get out of it? When we did what He said and went around with long faces, serious about God of the angel armies, what difference did it make? Those who take life into their own hands are the lucky ones. They break all the rules and get ahead anyway. They push God to the limit and get by with it. Then those whose lives honor God. Remember, it's a year of honor. Those who honor me, I will. Amen. Those whose lives honored God did what? They got together, fellowship. Amen. And talked it over. They had a constitutional conference, as it were. Please listen carefully. You may be seeing this differently from the way you used to see it. God saw what they were doing and listened in. A book was opened in God's presence, and minutes, that looks very formal, is it? And minutes were taken of this very meeting. That's a paraphrase, though. With the names of the God-fearers written down, all the names of those who honored God's name. Is there any God-fearer here? If you're a God-fearer, shout, "Yeah."
Yeah!
Hallelujah. Verses 17 to the end now. And God of the army, God of the angel armies, that's Jehovah Sabaoth, that's the original transliteration, hallelujah, said, "They are mine, all mine. They'll get special treatment when I go into action." Notice, not if I go into action. It's a matter of time. And I want to tell you, your time starts now.
Amen.
Amen. When I go into action, I treat them with the same consideration and kindness that parents give the child who honors them. Once more, you will see. That means you've seen before. You will see again. the difference it makes between being a person who does the right thing and one who doesn't, between serving God and not serving Him. Can you please look up a little bit? Amen. He said there will be a clear difference between serving God and not serving Him. I'll call what I share in the next few minutes walking with God. You can't walk with God and lose out. It doesn't matter where grace picked you up from, your takeoff point. You will know where your takeoff point is, but you can never imagine your finishing line. But one thing I'm sure, you will finish strong.
Amen.
One thing I'm so convinced about, you will finish strong.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, walking with God is more than just going to church 3 times a week and or just do the Daraprim thing, Sunday stuff. It's much more than that. I used to tell those friends of mine more than 20 years ago as a young believer then, and that, look, if all Christianity is about living healthy, it's worth it. For close to 30 years now, 26 years, last December 25th, close to 30 years, I've not swallowed Daraprim or chloroquine or had malaria or any such. That alone, how much can I quantify that God has saved me and my family? And still counting. So walking with God, what you see, what you can see, what you are looking at, you know it. It either good, bad, or ugly. But if you can't change it, you can change your subjective response to it. Praise the Lord. I believe that God wants some people to begin to look beyond what they have set for themselves, because what we are presenting to Him to approve is too small. Go change your budget. Go recalibrate your plan. Because He will send strangers to come and plow your land.
Amen.
He will send strangers. There is somebody here who has been living with fear for more than 2 weeks now because of one particular event. I have news for you. He says, go and sleep. I'm already going into action on your behalf.
Amen.
That which you feared will not even come to stay.
Amen.
It will not see the light of day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Walking with God is more than just going religious. It's an experience. Praise the Lord. I used to tell people, look, what you know about God will to a large extent affect what you can expect from Him. What you know about Him go to a large extent to affect and influence the kind of things you can demand from Him. Praise the Lord. And when you demand the right things in the orders of God, He is happy because He is able to demonstrate His almightiness through you. When you come up with something that no normal person can come up with, more so by your social status, when you come up with something far beyond your league, everybody will conclude, he didn't do this himself. God helped him. And I see somebody who God will help today. And that it will be beyond what you will have come up with. You won't have to tell others that God actually helped you. They will know that, no, I know this sister. Look, I know this bro. He didn't come up with this. God helped him. God will help you. God will help you. Walking with God also entails, see, let's read this portion of scripture. We can read any version, maybe the NIV or the King James, the book of 1 Samuel. Walking with God. Walking with God. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 19 here. I want to read something. If you dare, excuse me. It's already. Okay. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's start from verse 9. Let me not just go that far. The little Samuel had, what does it say? The mother was prophesying because she was overwhelmed with joy. Amen. That was the first time she would show up after a major miracle showed up in her life. Samuel was a miracle. Amen. He said, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall what? No man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, and out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. There is something about you being a believer in Jesus. Either you're ordained as a preacher, or you're a kingdom citizen. In fact, to me, the best of all is being a kingdom citizen. When you are that already, by virtue of your relationship to Jesus, heaven looks on you as a king and a queen. But he also expects you, your father and my father expects you and I to live as priests so we can function as kings. If you're not willing to live as priests, what do priests do? They take men to God in intercession, right? What do kings do? They bear rule. They decide what should happen. Amen? And I believe that God will begin to make that happen in your experience in the name of Jesus. He is killing the seed of this kind of feeling of being a victim. He's killing victim mentality and installing in your hard drive, in the real you, in your inward parts, that spirit of a victor, that spirit of a champ, in the name of Jesus. He said, by strength shall no man prevail. And I want to tell you, because it's not going to be your strength that will accomplish what he wants to do in you, he will need to baptize you in grace. Amen. You see, walk, our physical walk, or the things we do on the earth, if we do it in the strength of the Spirit of God, then grace can make, God can walk these things through us, so that it's not going to be by struggle. It's going to be because he's helping us, or he's doing it through us. And as you begin to trust God to do the things you have wished to accomplish, that he does it through you, you will know the true manifestation of grace in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. And grace is always available when you yourself you are available. Amen. Amen. Grace is available when you are available. He said, let us have grace so that we can serve God without fear. Isn't it? Yes. So if we can have grace, it means it's within reach. And if it's within reach, it means you must take a step to put it to use. And if you put it to use, grace will always work. Praise the Lord. And I believe as grace works for you, many will want to serve the God that loved you this much. And that will be a new style of evangelism. It will not only be dependent on distributing tracts. It's lovely and good to distribute tracts. But when your life becomes the gospel to the people around you, it will not be you alone just telling them. They will be the one asking you more about your God. Tell us more about your God. There is something about you. I had an experience some years back. A gentleman, an optometrist, we share the same office complex. But each time he comes to the office on a Monday morning, he's frowning. And so one day I asked him, sir, what's actually the problem? People say, thank God it's Friday, for those who don't know Jesus. To a believer, every day is supposed to be a feast day. Yes. Amen. But he now said, pastor, sit down. I want to talk to you. So I felt maybe he had a big secret to share with me. And guess what this man said? He said, pastor, I make more money than you. But I'm afraid of Friday. Because no matter what I make, between Monday and Thursday, between Friday and Sunday, everything is gone. So when I come, I'm in a frenzy. I need to make some money or else I'm in trouble. He said, but I look at you, you're at peace. And I'm sure you don't make near what I make per month. So when he said that, I smiled and I just laughed. And he said, it's a serious thing. Tell me. Talk to me. It's, to him, I'm trivializing what's a big deal to him. He said, how can you be laughing? I'm telling you something serious. He said, I've been thinking about how to tell you this opportunity that you gave me by asking that what's the matter. That's why I said, sit down. I need to talk to you. I told him it's about Jesus. He said, is that all? I go to church now. I go to send somewhere. He called the name of the church. I say, it's not church I'm talking about, sir. It's not church. It's a relationship. And guess what? After a while, he knew then, way back then, I was a Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship International chapter president. He started coming to fellowship. I didn't even tell him to come. Your life will draw men to Jesus. I'm saying that as by decree, your life will attract men to Jesus. Because he will show up in your life in a way you have never known him. Let me make some progress so that we can pray. The book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Quickly. 61. That's where he talked in verse 6. Isaiah 61. We'll start from verse 6. We can read up as far as 9. Okay. He said, but you shall be named priest of the Lord. He didn't say when you are ordained, because you already ordained a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Praise the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. Amen. And ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Amen. And in their glory, the word glory there is actually means in their strength, in the things they have come up with, they labored for. When Pastor was talking about somebody will have to plow things, those people. Amen. He said, ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Their resource, amen, shall serve you.
Amen.
For your shame you shall have double,
amen,
and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Praise the Lord. You know, we've been talking from the time of before the service proper. We're talking joy, and Pastor was teaching on all of that. It's God's intent. It's God's counsel, and it's God's will, and it will become an experience.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said everlasting joy. That is not a joy that is epileptic like PAC and light. Mm-mm. No, not that type. The one that happens either you eat or not eat. The one that happens, it doesn't matter the information you get. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of the joy God is talking about. And it's a blessing of God to have that. Because in that joy lies your strength. When you harbor that joy and give expression to it, your strength is enhanced. When you allow the joy of the Lord to walk within you, and you look beyond your immediate challenge, the joy of the Lord will begin to cause things to happen for you that you didn't toil for.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That does not mean you laze around. No. It only means that your work, I love the one you said concerning King Sonny Ade. Somebody gave me something similar. He said, if a true career professional footballer is not paid to play football, he will still play football. I'm sure you agree with me.
Yeah.
A basketballer that loves the game, not for the money, if you don't pay him to play in the big league, he will still play somehow. Now, how much more when you now tell him £12 million or something is awaiting you to play 2-3 games. He will play himself almost to death. Don't you think so? Now, when God has offered you joy, and you begin to walk from the standpoint of joy and approach everything in life from that standpost, he will do all things to keep it that way for you. And I believe that your joy will go on an upward swing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And because he has caused us to walk with him, God is not a Democrat. I'm trying to tidy up now. God is not what? He is not a Democrat. He's not a politician. If he were a politician, he would love the game of numbers. Praise the Lord. But he said in his word, and I quote, he said, "Fear not, you little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He didn't say the local government. Praise the Lord. God, not being a Democrat, not being a politician, each person that is called by his name is meant to be a kingdom citizen. And I will put out the analogy for you to just chew on, and then we'll start to pray. Every kingdom has three things in common anywhere in the world. They all have language, they all have currency, and they also have culture. You may call it constitution. The kingdom of Jesus has the same. Praise the Lord. The language is the language of language of faith. It calls those things that be not as though they are already in existence. So if you must shape your world, the kind of life you want to live is actually a byproduct of the kind of language you speak, the kind of words you speak. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If the joy of the Lord fills your heart, good words will flow out. And those good words would soon wear flesh and manifest to you. Instead of saying, "I am sick," and you declare, "I am strong." Instead of saying, "I am broke," and you declaring, "I am rich." Not because you see your bank account physically loaded, but because you are aligning yourself with the principles of the kingdom to which you belong and which you profess. God will make good his word to you. Amen. So the language is faith. The currency is righteousness. Romans chapter 4. Let's take a look at that. And then I'll share the last one as well. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. We can start from verse 3. What saith the scripture? For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted. Some version will say credited. I think that would be NIV. Is anybody with NIV here? Can you do me NIV, please? Accounted. Okay. No, that's New King James. Some versions will actually say credited to your account for righteousness. Hallelujah. So if the language be faith, okay. This is it. See, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him. Amen. There was a bank wireless transfer to his account. He just direct access, boom. And then you get the alert. What's the alert? The Spirit beareth witness with your spirit that you have received the righteousness of God. Don't forget 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that popular place from verse 17 downward. He said, "Now are we the righteousness of God?" Not making you righteous, you are already his righteousness. That is, everything about you, from God's viewpoint, as he is in this world, so are you. Now, when you come into that consciousness, your response will be different. You can't speak the way they used to speak. You can no longer do the way they used to do their things. Amen. So he said, it was credited to him for righteousness. He said, now to him that walketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. 30 days, make one pay packet. But if you didn't do 30 days job, and you still get what they call there is this name they call it, salary advice or something like that. You get, sleep. Pay sleep or something that alerts you that your salary has just been credited to your account. Meanwhile, you didn't work. then it's no longer work, it's grace. And the best cure for disgrace and embarrassing situation is His grace.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, the third one, so, no, let's finish that place. He said, he that walketh not, but believe in Him that justifieth the unrighteous. What does he say from there? His faith is what? Is credited for righteousness. That's in verse 5. Please, beam verse 5. Okay, he's credited for righteousness. When your language is faith and your currency that can be traded, the Bible said they wrought righteousness in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Now, when that is ongoing in your life, it's inevitable that you must have to put on and live with the culture of heaven. The culture is holiness. Hallelujah. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Him, talk less of experiencing and walking with Him. Amen. So the culture or the constitution of this kingdom I'm talking about, because if you are to walk with Him, and it's a command, not a suggestion, amen, to walk with Him, and you know these three, and you now begin to deploy them, life will begin to yield to you its best juice. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when God begins to say that, okay, my child, you're doing that which really pleasures me, He said, no good thing will He withhold from them that what? Walk righteously. Amen. He won't withhold any good thing. So you can afford to expand your coast. You can afford to make your budget bigger according to your measure of faith. Amen. And I know that the one you need for this year, you will need more next year. So you need to keep growing. You cannot grow too much. The day you are done growing, that's the day you change your address. Changing address, I mean relocating back to where you really belong. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Walking with God. Now, knowing the Constitution and not applying it makes for a very discouraging life. Because you know the things that are freely given to you of God, but you're not accessing it. Praise the Lord. Another thing is, now knowing that the currency with which you are to trade is righteousness, you have to walk in that realm. And also have to speak the things that God will have spoken if He were physically with you and in that situation. I close with this. The man, Peter, or no, even, what was his name? The sisters of Lazarus. Master, if you've been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know one thing. Now that you are here, all things are still possible. What do you think they are saying? They are looking, they appraised their situation is daunting, but they looked beyond their situation, they saw eternal life. Not as something, but as a person. Jesus said, I am that resurrection and that life. So if I'm here, what the power of the life to come can be experienced now. So we shorten the whole thing, we bridge the gap. That which the lady, was it Martha? Amen. You know, it's Mary and Martha. Say, okay, but if you had come earlier, my brother wouldn't have died. But now that you are here, you are that eternity in the future, and you are that eternity in the past. Now that you are here, whatever need to happen will still happen. Amen. So from that viewpoint, nothing is beyond God. And whatever is given for now, that may really be what you actually needed. We need to separate the need from the want. Amen. If He has not done it yet, that does not mean He won't do it. He's only saying, wait, my daughter, wait, my son, I'm going to do it, not your style. I'm going to do it a style that is higher than your own. So that when it comes true, it will be beyond you. Everybody will know God came through for you. And I see somebody that God is coming through for. In the name of Jesus. I see God come through for someone. You have waited. Your waiting is going to yield now the result that is beyond you. That is beyond you. A lady told her father that she's tired. That if God said she won't have a baby and she knows it, she can live with that. But she can't live with having to wait year in, year out. And still expecting and expecting and expecting. And the father was very rattled. She's married. This is the 8th year. Last year, I think about February, I had the privilege of preaching in their church, and her father happens to be one of the senior pastors in that assembly. And the man said, it happened in this Lagos here, and the man called me behind after the service, it's a whole weekend, and he said, "Sir, I have some things to share with you. You said some of them earlier on the pulpit, but you were actually addressing what my daughter told me yesterday." And then he told me this story. Then I said, "Sir, where is your daughter?" He says, "In town, but he's on the other brink of town. He's on towards Lekki, between Lekki and the Chevron or something. She lives in that area." I said, "Okay. Can we pray together?" He said, "I can call her. She will come." And then when they pulled the call through, guess what happened? She said she cannot make it because she has a medical appointment. I understand it. And then the next thing, at night, she called me. The mother gave her my number. And then we prayed. And the Lord said, "I should announce to her that for her shame, she will have double." And then they told, said the medical thing she went for, they needed to do a procedure. I've forgotten what's the name. IVF or something. But that the problem is not hers, it's actually from the husband and all of that. I said, "Look, there will always be a name to any problem. And if the problem has a name, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are what? Secure." Amen. So we prayed. And the Lord kept reminding me after we've prayed and she's gone. We didn't see face to face. Now this is the miracle of it. We didn't see face to face. Shortly after that, I received a call. It's an international call from America. I saw the plus one and the other number. I said, "Now all my friends and contacts, I know their name, or except is a Nigerian is just visiting and he just got a line and is calling with that." And he said, "Sir, it's me." I said, "I don't know you." He said, "Please, sir, remember, my daddy is..." And then I remembered. He said, "I'm here. I'm trying to do the procedure that I told you of here." He said, "But there is bad news." He said the bad news was that they told him, the doctors told him, we could only get 3 cells. And we expected much more. But the 3 cells we got, one is dead. We only have 2. So your chances are... And of course, they've spent a lot of money. And she will still have to stay there for a while. So she's like, this is like opening your eye and dumping the money across Third Mainland Bridge. Praise the Lord. So she was crying in her hotel room. And she's just been there tonight and it was still cold out there. She went to New York. She said that should she come back home, I told her, if all you have left is God, that's all you need. That's all you need. And she was really waving like this for obvious reasons. When the doctor said, "We're sorry, madam, this is all we could get." But the long and short of it is that those 2 zygotes ended up 2 boys. I still spoke with her 2 days ago. I saved her name as Mama Beji Lekki. That's the way I saved her name in my phone. Praise the Lord. Now, why did I tell you this story? It doesn't matter. Yours may not be that of a child. It may be a career path. It doesn't make any difference. The thing is, Your faith in the faithfulness of God in this year will deliver double result for you. Amen. That woman's story is classic. It was February. It's less than a year. She has a 3 months old baby, two boys. When I came in December to preach somewhere in, around Ogba, the woman came with two handbags carrying the babies. You know, this little cot, they handle it like this. They had two house helps carrying each of the bags, the driver. So it was an entourage when they came to my hotel. Everybody was just looking. Praise the Lord. As if you know where she's coming from, you will know actually that God has really come through for her. And I see somebody, not just in your family, all around, God will come through for you. For your pain of the past, you will have double honor in the name of Jesus. Help will arise for you out of Zion. The woman came and said, I want you to see your boys. That's the way she said. He said, sir, I want you to see your boys. I never believed it would turn out like this. She called again and again. But as we speak, God has completed the circle. You will come a full circle. You will come a full circle. You will come a full circle in the name of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet, please. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah, Father. Makazambakaliga Branisa. Le Makada Kubo.